Well, greetings, saints. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together to study your Word, your Holy Word, that goes into our hearts and recreates Christ in us. And from thenceforth, we become a vessel through whom he can flow to others around us. And we thank you for this gift, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about the heart and the tongue. And I'm going to start in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's believers, right? By the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Notice that even as a brethren, you need to have a body that is holy and acceptable unto God. And you have to present it as a sacrifice, meaning you can't give it into this world. You can't give it over to this world. You can't give it over to sin. And God's made the way to do this. Okay? And here's the way. Verse 2. And he also says, by the way, it's acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or your reasonable service, in verse 1. Your reasonable service. This is not super spiritual. This is a part of the basic package here. And here's how you get there, verse 2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we can change our mind. We can repent. We can believe what the Bible says. We don't have to believe what people say. We can believe what the Bible says. And so he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that repentance means change your mind. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's a constant thing from here to the end. Anytime you find that your mind is disagreeing with the Word of God, you repent, which is change your mind. Be ready to change your mind, because you'll change it a lot before you arrive at the truth. You know, I mean, if you're trusting in a man to tell you this is the truth, you're going astray. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can prove what is the right way, the truth, the righteous walk, the purity, the spotless and blemishness bride, you know, these things. You can prove that. And that's why you put the Word of God in your heart, like the parable of the sower. Jesus sowed the seed, which was the Word, in the hearts of four different groups of people, kinds of people, I would say. But only one of them bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the fruit, of course, is the fruit of bearing what God puts in your spirit, in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Peter said, "In your soul will be sanctified, your soul will be born again, begotten again, through your obedience to the truth." So it's first very important that we change our minds, constantly change our minds, and believe what the Bible says and act on that. And go back to Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So we believe and we are accounted righteous through our faith. We're justified, that means accounted righteous, by faith. In other words, we believe what we see. We believe what we see in the Word. It's not a one-time thing. That's a false doctrine. It's not the Romans road to the salvation so you can sit on a pew and wait for the rapture. Not that at all. It's the whole road. Changing your mind. Believing in your heart. Because out of your heart comes the issues of life. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, and you're going to be judged by every word you say, according to the Bible. So, we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation. We are coming into salvation. We are manifesting our salvation. Yes, we have salvation by faith, but that's not the manifestation. It's like anything else that you believe for. You have to endure to the end in your faith to receive the manifestation of it. If you believe for a healing, you have to believe to the end to receive the manifestation of it. And salvation is the same thing. 30, 60, and 100-fold is the manifestation of salvation in you. And it is Christ in you, because the Word was what the sower sowed. It was His seed. It was His seed that went into the heart that brought forth His fruit. His fruit. And it goes on to say, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be put to shame. Now, the proof that this faith is not a one-time step-over-the-line type thing is in Romans chapter 11. First, I want to tell you that when you receive a new spirit, it's pretty instantaneous. But your soul is different. Your soul is born again through your obedience to the truth. That's where you bear the fruit. People don't tell you that, and of course people are thinking it's not necessary. You're calling that, it's works, David. You're teaching salvation by works. Yeah, the works of God. When you walk by faith, He does the saving. If you don't walk by faith, you don't manifest more and more of His wonderful salvation, nor do you come into the image of Jesus Christ, who is saved. Okay, Romans 11 and 19 says, Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. Well, he's talking about the natural Jews, how they were broken off because they did not believe in the only begotten Son of God. By their unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Okay. So, we stand by faith. It's not a one-time thing. We stand as we abide in the faith of the Scriptures. You're accounted righteous through the things that you believe. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now, he's talking to those who are grafted in, right? For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will He spare thee. So, contrary to popular opinion, you know, He won't spare you if you don't continue to walk by faith either. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The end of what? The end of their faith. Which is, what did he say it was through Peter? The salvation of your souls. The end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. Yes. Neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and the severity of God. Towards them that fell, severity, but towards thee, God's goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Oh my, this doesn't sound like once saved, always saved at all. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. But notice, you have to continue in the faith. I'll show it to you again in the book of Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was giving all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, okay, I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. And we're told, of course, that if that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, which is straight out of this book, then you abide in the Son. And Jesus said, if you don't abide in the Son, you won't bear fruit. You're broken off and thrown into fire. So we have to continue. We contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. He was talking to the brethren here. And their common salvation. For there are certain men crept in privily, they who were of old written of beforehand unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, a license to do what you want to do. That's what that is. And that's exactly where we are. The overwhelming majority of the church has this right here. Lasciviousness. They turned the grace into lasciviousness. And denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I desire to put you in remembrance. That's these people who have entered into this common salvation. Right? I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Wait a minute. Having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels that kept not their own principality, but left their proper habitation, which we should never do. We don't want to be wandering stars, right? He hath kept in everlasting bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And, you know, by the way, you could go over to verse 12. It says, these are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts. There are people hidden in amongst us who do not belong to God. They are not walking by faith. They are living after the lusts of their flesh. When they feast with you, shepherds, by the way, wasn't in the numeric because it's not just talking about shepherds. That without fear feed themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by the winds. Autumn trees without fruit. Without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. How can you be twice dead without being twice born? Wild waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. There you go. They left their proper position in the heavenlies, just like the angels did, right? For whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever. Oh my. So, you can see it's a more serious situation to be a disciple of Christ. It is to lose your life. Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life, right? So we can see that what we have to do is renew our mind and speak it out of our mouth. And, you know, we're told in Revelation chapter 22, I'll read it to you, verse 18 and 19. You probably know it by heart. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. Oh, there's a lot of this going on, and a lot of people dying of these various plagues because they are adding to the Word of God. So, what is it to be delivered from the curse? To not add to the Word of God. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of God, shall take away his part from the tree of life. Well, you can't have it taken away if you don't first have it. Okay? So they're lying about that too. God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. Out of the holy city? Yes. And let me point out to you that after Jesus was crucified, they didn't call that natural city over there the holy city anymore. And all through the book of Revelations, it's not talking about that city either. It's talking about this city that we have come to. Okay, and I'll share that with you in just a minute. Well, no, I'll share it with you right now. That's a good idea. Let's see. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. and this is Paul speaking to the believers, he said, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. No, not the earthly Jerusalem. He said that they were in bondage with their people. And they're under the law and separated from the grace of God. That's what he said. No, this is not the natural city. But you've come unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the one that's being born from above. We'll look at that in a minute. And to innumerable hosts of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him from heaven. Literally, him that warneth from heaven. So that's what I wanted you to see there. But he said he would take you out of the holy city, this heavenly Jerusalem. And what is the heavenly Jerusalem? Well, remember the parable that we have studied, how that Jerusalem was the capital city of the Old Testament church. And there's a parable there. King David ruled on the throne in Jerusalem. The presence of God was in Jerusalem. That's a parable. All of that's a parable that's being repeated. And so you can see Jerusalem is not all of the people of God. It's the capital city. It is the royal city. It is the city of David. It is the city of the man-child in our day. It is the bride. Revelation 21 and 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. It's New Jerusalem. It's not Old Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven from God. Everything must be born again, right? Something's got to die for something to live, right? Your old life is like that old Jerusalem. It has to die. The new Jerusalem is born from above. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3, 3 through 5. Born from above, or born again. The word again there is from above. Here it is, being born from above. This is the manifestation of God's salvation being seen in the earth by people who are experiencing it. And the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Adorned, meaning she is dressed up for the marriage. And in Revelation 19, we see that the bride has on this lampros garment. And the lampros garment is not the leukos garment of the rest of the people of God, those that follow the Lamb. The lampros garment was given to the bride. It's a glowing garment. It's where we get our word lamp from, right? So the bride is particularly glowing and beautiful. And leukos just means white, and that's good. Good to be white. But it's good to be glowing. It's better to be glowing. And it is, what does he say in Revelation 19? This bright garment, lampros garment, is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19 and 8. The righteous acts of the saints. You're making your own garment for the wedding. The righteous acts of the saints. Wickedness will not enter into the bride. Okay, go on down. Verse 19. Come hither, the latter part of it. Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high. This is Mount Zion. And showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So what did he say? This is the bride. Come hither, I'll show you the bride. And there she is, right there. Wow. Okay, so what he's saying in Revelation 22, you will not enter the bride if you add to or take away from this word of God. And you'll lose your place in the tree of life if you take away from the word of God, from the words of the book, right? Oh, we don't want that. Well, there's lots of people that do it, and they do it because they're in idolatry with some religion or person that tells them what they believe the truth is, and of course, they have to believe them or they'll be out on their ear, right? And so, instead of going out and finding the truth on their own, seeking out their own salvation with fear and trembling, they fall into idolatry with somebody and only accept what they say. God wants to reveal to you what His Bible says. I'm not a very good teacher. I just show people what the Bible says because I don't think we should add to it or take away from it. And everything that we do should agree with it. Everything that we should do, agree with it in our heart and out of our mouth. So, once again, he's going to tell us a couple of times that the wicked can't enter into this city. And now we're seeing that their place, even their place in the tree of life, is forfeited. We have to believe the Word of God over and above what men say. They will give you a watered-down version of everything. Okay, go back to 21, Revelation 21, 23. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The glory of God, of course, we know the bride, the reason she is lit with the glory of God is because she knows the gospel. She believes the real gospel. With an unveiled face, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image of what? Of the glory of the Lord. From glory to glory. Even as from the Lord the Spirit, from glory, we grow into that glory of the Lord from glory to glory. And that is, Paul spoke about it, star glory, moon glory, sun glory. There are stages of 30, 60, and 100-fold that we come into the image of Christ. Okay, and these are different rewards too, by the way. So the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. So he's also a lamp. Notice that. And what is shining out of the bride? A lampros. Lampros shining out of her, right? And the nation shall walk amidst the light thereof. Wow. And it's true. When the Lord Jesus walked the earth, there were the people of the world and didn't know and didn't see the light, did they? And even the people of Israel didn't see the light, overwhelmingly didn't see the light. People that walked in darkness saw a great light, the Bible says, right? And the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. Okay, let's go down and read just a little bit more so we can back up and see this. And there shall in no wise, verse 27, enter into it anything unclean or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's the only people that can enter in. No unclean thing can enter in. These are not natural kings. These are spiritual kings. They're not natural kings. In fact, we can see that. Let's just go to Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sing a new song. Who is it that gets to, excuse me, who is it that gets to sing the new song? Well, let me go over there and read it to you very quickly. And I saw and behold, Revelation 14 and 1. The Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name, the name of his Father, written upon their foreheads. Okay, so this is that Mount Zion. 144,000 is the man-child of Revelation 12. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, and the voice which I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000, even they that have been purchased out of the earth. But they're on Mount Zion. That's right. They've been purchased out of the world. They've got a job to do. We're all purchased by faith, but these are purchased by manifestation. And these are they that are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. In other words, they haven't received the seed of man that comes through religion. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Okay, that's Revelation 14 and 4. Notice, 140 and 4. And in their mouth was found no lie. They're purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no lie, and they are without blemish. Okay, and this is at the beginning of the tribulation period that these people are prepared and ready to go to work. Again, they're not adding to and taking away from, so there's no lie in their mouth, right? So, we see back where we were, Revelation 5 and 9, and it says, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth." Now, reigning is what kings do. They reign upon the earth. And no, it's not the carnal kind of reigning. It's the spiritual kind of reigning that Jesus did over the works of the darkness, over the devil, over the curse, etc., etc. And it goes even beyond what Jesus did the first time, according to Isaiah 61, and that is, it brings judgment. This time, the Lord is coming in a body of the Son of David to bring judgment. And this is a corporate body of the Son of David, because now the corporate body, the church, covers the globe. Okay. So, they reign upon the earth. And what does it say in chapter 3 and verse 21? It says, "He that overcometh will I give to him to sit down with me in my throne." What is that for? To reign. "And I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Wow. Okay, how about 2 and 26? "He that overcometh and he that keepeth my works unto the end." Oh my goodness, they have to do works. I think it's God doing it in them, don't you? "To him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter are broken to shivers." You know what I think? I think the man-child is bringing this dominion, much like David did, according to pattern. And, of course, David was giving dominion over the enemies of God to his mighty men. All right. And let's see. Yep. So, we can see here kings. Kings ruling upon the throne. Revelation 14 shows us the man-child ministry. And so these kings are bringing their glory into it. Now, how do these kings get glory? By being an overcomer. By manifesting the star glory, and then the moon glory, and the sun glory, and coming into his image. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So these are the rulers that enter into the holy city. Nothing unclean can enter there. And nothing unclean can enter the bride, because it's going to be a spotless and blemishless bride, right? So 21 and 25, Revelation 21 and 25. And the gates thereof shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Okay, so these kings are bringing people into the bride who are sanctified people. The glory, notice, they're bringing the glory into it. All right. And the gates thereof shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. There's always discernment there, because the Lord lives in the midst of his people. They can always see, even in the darkness that others don't see. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie. Well, notice, the ones who do not lie, Revelation 14, is the man-child, 144,000, and they sing the song, the new song, and they rule on the earth like David did. And Jesus did. And of course, it's Jesus ruling through them, because he lives in them by his word, because that's what the glory is. The manifestation of the word in us, right? So it's Jesus in them by spirit and by word that is ruling. But only them that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody that's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, like a carnal king or whatever, can enter this bride. Nobody. It's going to be a spotless and blemishless bride. That's what he's seeking for, and that's what he's going to have. And by the way, it went right on into the next verse. There wasn't a 22 and 1 there in the original. And who is it talking about still? The bride. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright and crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. River of the water of life, coming out of the throne of God. Where's the throne of God? Well, just consider yourself a tabernacle of God. And what was that tabernacle? It was Holy of Holies, representing your spirit, where Christ dwells, where he rules. A holy place, representing your soul. And an outer court, representing your body. Okay, we are a mobile tabernacle of God. A mobile temple of God. As Paul said, ye are the temple of God. Right? So, proceeding out of the throne of God, who sits in your Holy of Holies, according to the Old Testament pattern, is this river of the water of life. And what did Jesus say in John 7, 38 and 39? He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. He said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. As the Scripture, in other words, not adding to or taking away from. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You can't add to the Word of God without polluting it, making it useless, worthless. It's not the Word of God. It's either the Word of God or it's not the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to quote the Word of God exactly. That's not true. You have to agree with it exactly. And you have to speak in agreement with it. That's the heart believing unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not just yours, but those around you. So that's what this river of the water of life is. He said, out of your innermost being, this would flow. And this spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. Well, what is that? Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life. So there you have the washing of the water with the word, Paul called it, right? And these are the words of life. Okay? And they're flowing out of the bride, out of the throne of God. Where's the throne of God? Jeremiah chapter 3 said, Jerusalem. In that day, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God. So, these are words, spirit words, that have power to recreate Christ in you, the hope of glory. When in 666, John 666, disciples walked away from Jesus and left, he said to the disciples, hey, you going too? I said, where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. The words of life. Yes. 22 and 2, and in the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now let's look at that closely. The tree of life. What is... See, the Bible interprets itself. You don't need to interpret it. It already interprets itself. Proverbs 15 and 4 says, you have a footnote there, most of you do, the Hebrew. It says, the healing of the tongue is a tree of life. The healing of the tongue. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit. A breaking of the spirit. So perversion is destruction and death. The healing of the tongue. What heals the tongue? The water that comes from the throne and passes by the tongue, which is the tree of life. It passes over the tongue, which is the tree of life, and it goes out to heal what? The nations. Okay. Let's go back and read it again. For the healing of the nations, and there shall be no curse anymore. And the throne of God and the Lamb shall be therein, and his servants shall serve him. Well, of course, because it's him sitting on the throne of their heart. In their spirit. Now this is very interesting. You know, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The water flowed out past the tree of life, just like the water comes out of your innermost being over the tree of life that's on this side and on that side. And this is actually also told by Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. Let me read a little bit of it to you. And he brought me back unto the door of the house. This is the house of God, of which you are. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house was towards the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, and on the south of the altar. So, here we're coming out of the throne of God, the sanctuary, flowing out to heal. And so then he brought him out and around to look at this water that was coming out of the throne of God and going towards the east and so on. And then he says, and when the man went forth eastward with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were to the ankles. Okay, so this is a progression. First, I've actually had people had dreams where the water was up to their ankles, but they were in a dead, dry church. And in the dream, I dynamited the levee and brought the water up around them, you know. They only were getting ankle deep in the water, and it was true. It was true. It was a dead, dry church, and they didn't believe most of the Word of God, but they thought they did. And he measured 1,000 and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and caused me to go through the waters, waters that were to the loins. So getting deeper and deeper in this water of life, as we're going to see. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. What does it mean, could not? Well, usually it means you're going to die if you get out there, you know. Well, that's what we need. Jesus said, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. And what is the washing of the water with the word for? It's to wash away the old life. Right? And to receive and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? That's right. So, verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. Now when I returned, behold, upon the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. That sounds like Revelation, what we just read in 22, right? Then said he unto me, these waters issue forth towards the eastern region, and shall go down into the Arabah, and they shall go towards the sea, and the sea shall be, shall the waters go, which were made to issue forth, and the waters shall be healed. So the waters of the Dead Sea are going to be healed by this. And so the Dead Sea is being used as a parable too, of people where nothing can live, nothing in them lives, right? There's nothing, no life in the Dead Sea. And it shall come to pass that every living creature which swarmeth in every place whither the rivers come shall live. So everywhere the living waters come shall live. So receive the living waters of God's Word. Receive it so that you can live, so that you can give away what you have, right? And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Fish, of course, represent that Jesus said, come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. Right? These are men. For these waters are come thither, and the waters of the sea shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. That's right. If you humble yourself to that river and it comes to you, it's going to heal you. It's going to deliver you. It's going to give you life. And it shall come to pass that fishers shall stand by it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim. There shall be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish shall be after their kinds as the fish of the great sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea, right? Exceedingly many. So this is going to be a great revival. And it's going to start with the man child, just like it did with Jesus. Jesus started the revival, didn't he? But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given up to salt. Now there's a lot of places like that in the experience of the people in the Word of God. It's stagnant. It's dead. It doesn't give life. It doesn't change people. It moralizes people, but gives them no power to actually obtain moralization, which is through the gospel, right? So they'll be given up to salt, kind of like Lot's wife, you know. She looked back. She didn't continue on believing and going forward. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow every tree for food, whose leaf shall not wither, neither shall the fruits thereof fail. It shall bring forth new fruit every month, just like we saw over there, because the waters thereof issue out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for healing. There's the leaf for the healing. And the leaf, of course, takes in sunshine, photosynthesis, and puts out water and oxygen. Life, 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 life and breath, right? So, we see here that this is the tongue. It starts with the heart, because you have to believe it. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance that He has said unto you, but you got to put it in there. You can't remember something that you haven't put in there. You need to put it in there. And let the Lord speak to you about it. Make it important in your life, because you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not because of all the knowledge that you have that you're going to be in the man, child, or the bride, or whatever. It's going to be because of the fruit. Notice, the waters bring forth fruit. Okay, back to Revelation 22. Verse 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life. Notice that you have to have washed robes to come to the tree of life. We just saw that if you add to the Word of God, take away from the Word of God, you'll miss out on the tree of life and out of the holy city. Right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city. So if you wash your robes, that is what? Your righteous acts of the saints, as we just saw that the bride has on this luminous garment, this lampros garment, may enter into the gates of the city. So you can go into the city if you're washed, if you're clean, you know. And of course, you're not accounted as wicked, because you're walking in the light that you have, and you're bearing fruit. And without are the dogs. That's kind of a name they give to unbelievers, because there's lots of those in the church too. And the sorcerers, or witchcraft, which is rebellion, the Bible says. And the fornicators and the murderers, because if you hate your brother, you're a murderer, Jesus said. And the idolaters, that's because you bow down to the organizations of men, not the organization of God, and to men rather than God. Oh, God. And everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. Okay, let's go to Matthew 15. And I'm going to read verse 16. And he said, Are you also even yet without understanding? Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth into the mouth passeth into the belly, and is cast out into the drought? But the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. These are the things which defile the man. In other words, what a person says is what defiles the man. What comes out of the heart and comes out of the mouth defiles the man. Or, as we have already seen, it can bless. It can bless and it can curse, as the Bible clearly says in the book of James. Let me read that to you real quick, like James chapter 3, verse 1. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive the heavier judgment. Obviously, teachers are passing on something that's being passed on and being passed on and being passed on. That's not necessarily good. So we need to get it right and let God make the teachers, right? For in many things we all stumble, and if any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So if we speak the right words, we bridle the body. We're able to turn the body if we bridle our words, right? So, verse 3 says, now if we put horses' bridles into their mouths that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder. It's so true. That little tiny rudder turns that whole monstrous ship. And what he's saying is the tongue will do the same thing. It will turn your ship. So what comes out of your mouth can be blessing or it can be cursing. Whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. So where do you want to go? You have the hold of the rudder. You can turn the ship. You can speak those things that will turn your ship. So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth of great things. Behold how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body. Notice, the words defile the body. The thoughts and then the words defile the body. You know, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You loose the devil when you agree with him. You bind God when you agree with the devil. You loose God when you agree with him. And you bind the devil. It is by your words, by your agreement or disagreement. Remember the first verses that we looked at. By your agreement or disagreement, adding to or taking from the words, this is where the curse comes from. And setteth on fire the wheel of nature, which is the cycle of life. Right? Sowing and reaping is the cycle of life. You sow and you reap. You sow and you reap. Remember when the sower went forth to sow? Jesus was the sower. He sowed the seed, but it was words that came out of his mouth. You see. And is set on fire by hell. So, if your human nature is ruling your tongue, we have to repent. We have to believe the Word of God. We have to speak in agreement with the Word of God so that we don't fall under the curse that is written there. You understand? For every kind of beasts and of birds and creeping things and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. So man can't tame the tongue. God can. How do you get God in you? Put the Word in you. Remember the Word was on Jesus when he rode the white horse? The Word of God. You put the Word in you. It's supernatural. It's powerful. You put it into your heart and you speak it out of your mouth and it brings life, right? Therewith bless we the Lord and Father. Wait, let's see. I'm going to back up a little bit. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men. We are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Amen. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Well, that's like the bitter waters were healed by the fresh, clean waters of life that Ezekiel saw. And that John in Revelation saw, right? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. So what we're seeing here is we need to be careful what we say. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Jesus said in Matthew 12, he said, I'm going to look in verse 33. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. You offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, in other words, in your heart, speak good things? So we must repent and believe the word, right? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And I say unto you that every idle word, every unfruitful word is sometimes translated, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So therefore, we need to practice believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. Confess means to speak the same as, homologeo, speak the same as. So agree with God when he talks about you in the Bible, what he says about you in the Bible and about your circumstances. Agree with him. If it's repentance, then give him repentance. But if it's good and blessing and provision he's given unto you, agree with it. Speak it out of your mouth, right? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. Your words are important. Please remember this. Your words are important. You know, Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, God forbid, you let God be found true, but every man a liar. So we have to let God's word be true. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, that means accounted righteous in your words. Remember, blessing and cursing are in your words, right? Justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. So when you're coming into judgment, speak those things that will give you the victory. Speak and agree with the blessings of God. Speak and agree with what God says. Don't add to his word. Don't take away from his word. He's saying that you have power in your words. And when you come into judgment, remember what the promises are. Speak the promises. Thank God for the promises. Believe God's word. And hold fast to his word. And thank you so much, saints, for being with us today. And also, we bless Michael and the brethren that are joining him. And we thank you, Father, that you will anoint Michael and that the brethren will hear the words and they will receive the good words and so on. Thank you so much. All right. God bless you. Good night.